States v. Howard. Mr. Holtzman.
Good morning, Justices. My name is Michael Holtzman. I represent Theodore Howard. And this is a case, as the Court is well aware, in which there's an allegation in our pleadings that the trial court abuses discretion in two primary ways. First, it opened up the gates for a flood of other conduct evidence.
I don't think it's 404B at all. This is all about his motive.
About his what, Your Honor?
His motive.
Yes, but there is clearly the government had a right to present evidence about a motive.
Well, but, that's what all this is.
But on the other hand, whether they can bring in 11 separate acts and pile it on, as they say, would
they're all relevant.
Well, the relevancy is absolutely is correct in most cases. I would agree, Your Honor. The issue is the other elements of 404B, in particular the prejudice element.
It's 403. You just think there's some of this evidence was more prejudicial than
right. That is the major
value.
That is the major point, Your Honor, that lumped together. And I think that defense counsel in his
404B is about other conduct, right? Yeah. Other crimes. That's the essential point. You don't want the person to be labeled as a criminal, so the jury thinks, well, maybe he didn't commit this crime. He commits other crimes, so he might as well throw the book at him. That's not – when you're looking at the history of that explains what happened and why – You're not looking at other crimes evidence.
I think up to a certain point you may be correct, Your Honor. However, that can be established without 11 separate acts, including some very prejudicial, egregious acts, in particular the...
This is egregious behavior toward the victim, right?
Right, but...
How do you get to hide your egregious misconduct toward the person you end up hiring someone to kill?
Some of that evidence is admissible, Your Honor, no question about it. But I think even the trial court acknowledged that bringing in three or four acts of threats of hurting someone is too much. The trial
Why
court
is it too much?
Because it paints, as the court previously stated, it paints the defendant as a bad
Why
man, a criminal.
To kill her 10 times, and the first 9 efforts miscarried. So maybe the 10th also. Wouldn't they all be admissible?
Well, I think in terms of examining the elements of 404B and looking at those and the balance of 403, I think it depends on the nature of the offenses.
But if you're willing to say in Mr. Howard's case that, you know, some 4 of these things could have come in on the question of motive, I am at a loss to think what difference it makes that the rest came in. By the time he's throwing muriatic acid on her face and shooting at the train and doing all the other things he did, you know, the jury got the message. You know, this guy was really seriously motivated to kill her.
Yeah, I agree, Your Honor.
So if it's a 403 argument, I hear this as a 403 argument, too, whether you call it the last factor of 404, whether you just call it 403, I'm not really interested in. But this trial judge was very careful. He looked at each piece of evidence. He made it very clear to the jury what it was coming in for. I hardly can imagine criticizing him for the way he handled it.
I'm not alleging that he didn't adopt the proper procedure. However, in allowing this many acts in, it piles it on. It tips the balance from relevant motive evidence to prejudice.
Seems like the balance, the jury got it probably in a way that made the last few acts just irrelevant, not extra prejudicial, but you know, like, oh, gosh, here he goes again.
Well, I mean, that's here he goes again because he's a terrible person.
No, because he's trying to kill his ex-girlfriend.
Well, that's the I think the issue is when you put so much of this information on behalf of the jury, it's not just a question they're going to ignore it. They're going to make conclusions that a person who throws acid in someone's face, a person who threatens to kill them, a person who stalks them repeatedly. You've got three court orders in there that say basically the same thing that a year before. Okay, why bring all of them in? You know, it's a question of the trial judge clearly has
well,
the...
they're all highly material. Well, they're not prejudicial in the... What prejudicial means in 404B is that the jury is going to be prejudiced against the defendant in the sense, you know, it's prejudice. They're going to dislike him. And on the basis of disliking him, they're going to convict him even if they have doubts about his guilt. Here, all of this helps to explain, you know, what happened and why he really did hire this fellow, Telly Virgin. Incidentally, you say Telly Virgin was an unreliable witness because he got a break from the government. What motive would he have had to kill her?
I'd be speculating, Your Honor. I know he was. He did know, based on the evidence, the defendant. Whether he acted on his own or with the defendant, I don't know. But that was never dealt with. And there's no way to evidence either way outside of his testimony.
Why do you say he's an unreliable witness? That is, he'd be an unreliable witness if he had had the motive to kill her.
I thought he was getting paid with cocaine.
Yes, that's another issue in terms of he was being several
his
occasions.
His motive was to get either money or cocaine, and your unreliability argument is that he's a crack addict.
Right, but then the issue is who says he was paid for with cocaine? He does.
He didn't have any animus against her, so he could only have been acting on Howard's behalf, right?
Well, he could have been acting on his own with after discussing this. I'd be speculating, Your Honor.
What motive would he have to attack her?
I don't. I would be speculating, Your Honor. The only motive I could think of is he's trying to help a friend. Yeah, maybe the friend didn't know it. Basically, it's his testimony. He's the only direct witness. What's that? He's the only direct witness, Your Honor, that ties my client in to getting him to commit the act. Other than that, there's no other witness who heard any the specific planning as to this offense. So all the other evidence is this other act evidence. All the other evidence outside.
It's not other act evidence.
403 or 404, motive evidence, however you want to term it. But the bottom line is Telly Virgin would have been standing out alone without this other evidence being admitted. And it kept on coming in. It kept on being piled on. In the cases that I've read, I've never, and the court is probably much more conversant with this than I am, where have 11 other acts come in?
Come on.
In any case, Your Honor, as to the second issue that I brought up, and that's the issue of the jury bias, our allegation is that based on the facts, although the court, I think, did a valiant effort in trying to rehabilitate the jury after they indicated that my client, if they had reason to fear my client, I don't think it was enough. All the jurors talked about it. All the jurors dealt with it. Although there was a follow-up individual voir dire, as there should have been.
Well, why wouldn't it help the defendant if the jurors were afraid of him?
Well, I don't think it would help them to be seen as a guilty party or a guilty man, as a person to be afraid of.
Then they'll vote to acquit.
Well, if they see him as a man to be afraid of, they'll vote the opposite.
But I'm asking you, how does it hurt him in the eyes of the jury if he's intimidated them?
Because he's seen, and it ties in with the other issue.
Yes, but they're afraid of him, right? Afraid of him.
But it ties in with the other evidence.
If they're afraid of him, they ought to acquit him, right?
Well, if I could, Your Honor. The jury, this also ties in with the other acts evidence that paints him as a bad man. they're afraid of him because he is a bad man, because he's taking notes and he's looking at them and he looks funny.
Well, then they should. Then he, if they're afraid of, I keep saying this, but you haven't answered me. If they're afraid of him, wouldn't that make them more likely to acquit than to convict?
Well,
Well, answer my question.
I would say no.
Why?
It does not, because if they're afraid of him, then it just paints. It is not that they're. I think they raised that issue with the court, and I think that they had suspicions about what he was going to do. They're afraid for their children.
But so they want him behind bars, is all you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to. He's there. He's not in a position of hurting them. But then again, they think he's going to look.
Hire Telly Virgin again.
All right, Your Honor. I think
yours.
I think the red light is on. So, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Holtzman. Mr. Veach.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the court. The district judge did do a comprehensive, individualized analysis of all of the 404B evidence, looking at the relevant factors, the relevant probative values, and especially the prejudicial effect and ways of limiting that prejudicial effect. The analysis was correct, and the district court did not err in its admission of the 404B evidence.
So I have to just comment that this is a slightly weird theory of the case. I mean, here's this man who's repeatedly trying to get the ex-girlfriend executed by somebody, and the guy winds up being charged in federal court with interfering with the engineer of a passenger train. I mean, it seems like a stretch in a way.
Your Honor, it is certainly an unusual charge. However, it was an applicable charge. This is a situation where a person hired another person, the defendant hired Telly Virgin, to shoot at a means of commercial transportation, a passenger train on railroad tracks, a commuter train. It's a significant offense, and without getting into charging decisions on behalf of the government, Your Honor, it certainly fell within the statutes here.
I can't believe there are many prosecutions brought under this statute in a given year. I don't know.
It was difficult to find jury instructions, Your Honor.
I would think, yeah.
And, Your Honors, with regard to the district court's voir dire process, the district court could not have done more to determine that the jurors did not fear the defendant. They had legitimate concerns given the information they gave out. The district court gave numerous instructions and perspective, allowed the parties to ask questions, and then individually asked each juror if they could be fair and impartial, and they confirmed that they could. For these reasons, I'll rest on my brief unless there are any other questions. We would ask that the convictions be affirmed.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Veach, and thank you to Mr. Holtzman. You were appointed, were you not? So we thank you for your efforts on behalf of your client. Next case.